relations will come in your way. There are 8 steps to yoga. Every child knows that. But to practice Yam Niyam is not easy. Every child knows this. No man is able to do it. Yam and Niyam. We are very anxious about Pranayama and Asana. And beautifully talk about meditation, dhyana. We forget satya, we forget dharana. We talk about pranayam, we talk about asana, we go straight to meditation, dhyana. I think that is yoga. Your timing exercises, your 3-step rhythmic breathing, established for 24 hours, will only take you out of the distractions, otherwise there is no possible way. Of course, if you are lucky, like my friend here, who may have done yoga abhyas for many lifetimes, it's a different thing. But for you and me, we must be grounded well in the timing exercises, 3-step breathing, then only we'll be able to hold the place in some country. So then only we will be able to know and practice Yam Niyam. We do not wish to go into the intricacies of pranayam. Only 3-step rhythmic breathing will be enough for us. And asana will not take many asanas. As I told you earlier, 3 will practice for health. The Harasan, the Sevanasan, and the Dhanu. 3 will practice for health. And the most important asana, the posture of the brain, is to be brought about by 3-step rhythmic breathing for 24 hours. Then comes the stage of pratyaha, detachment. To come to that state is achievement. Let go dharana, dhyana, samadhi, they are far away. To come to the stage of pratyahara, detachment. Detachment without running away from the duties of life. That type of detachment can only come by very serious, persistent practice. I have shown you the refining exercise. I have shown you the 3-step rhythmic breathing. I have given you the stage for 3-step rhythmic breathing. What will prevent you now is your own inertia, your own sanskar. And a terrible, strong purpose is necessary now to overcome your inertia. We have to go to the first important step, pratyahara. It is the most beautiful step in yoga abhyasa. Without pratyahara, dhyana, dhana, all are impossible. You will sit with closed eyes, legs crossed, your mind will go hunting. There will be no meditation of any sort whatsoever. You will be fooling your own self. Speed of mind has not been calculated by science. Science has calculated the speed of light. Compared to the speed of mind, it is like a bullock cart. That mind, we must control. And you have no visible means to control that mind. So friends, see that you put your heart and soul into the refining exercises, into the 3-step breathing exercise. And the first phase, which if you have honestly done, we can meet again for the second phase of that exercise. Are you sure you are doing the first phase? I trust you. If you are doing it honestly, you shall go to the second phase. As I look at all your faces, I don't see happiness on one face. Out of all the 60, 70 faces, I don't see happiness on one face. What is preventing that? The first book of the past is a smiling face. See this face. I don't see one face, a happy face here. Because your brain is going round and round into something. Your ears are hearing me. Your brain is going round and round and round something. So how can you be happy? Somebody asked one of the bhikshus, "Oh, what is so great about Buddha?" "There's nothing great about Buddha," the bhikshu said. "When he puts on the robe, he puts on the robe. When he eats, when he sleeps, he sleeps. When he goes out to bed, he has a begging bowl in hand. His mind does not wander. That is the great thing about Buddha. But you are hearing me and your brain is elsewhere. Miles away, some of you are miles away from me, though you are sitting here. That is called distraction. As long as distraction will take you by the hand, you will not be able to come on the path. When you hear, when you eat, when you sleep, when you listen, and your brain and mind must not wander. Thanks to the great speed, your mind will go to distant place and come back and say, "Yes sir, I am hearing you." You are not. I want to see these faces, happy, smiling faces. That will be possible when distractions and wanderings will stop. Distractions and wanderings cannot be stopped by any other way except one: introducing rhythmic breathing all 24 hours. Those who have achieved calmness of the brain, their breathing will naturally become rhythmic. But you can go from the other way and make use of rhythmic breath to bring about calming of the brain and mind. Doctor, I would like to take one turn and check the first phase. Okay. There is a Saturday group and there is a Thursday group. Would you like to come accordingly?
Yes, Saturday.
This Saturday would you come or would you call it a Christmas day? So Saturday group, let us meet day after tomorrow. And Thursday group, let us meet next Thursday. I want to check up the first phase of the exercise so that we can go into the second phase. You have to go to six phases and six sub-phases. It's a long way. And we must fix our meeting for the next month, when we'll go into the sutras directly now. So what is the last week on Thursday of the next year? Has anybody got a calendar? What does it say? 25th. That's the last?
Yes. That is the last.
I want last but one.
18.
Because on 18th we will meet for sutra. And then we will have two terms for our phase two. Month on the 18th, when you come with all your refining exercises done up to 3 minutes, and your three-step rhythmic breathing as much as possible, and first phase totally done. Just don't come otherwise if you are not prepared. So, doctor, day after tomorrow we are meeting, and on Thursday we are meeting, so you will bring the cassette and everything. Any question for today?
You are talking about the involvement of the individual mind in the brain, and thereby the individual mind in its qualities. How does the individual mind itself, which is in touch with the universal mind, uses in its in getting involved in the river of thought, instead of the river of thought gaining from interaction with the individual mind?
I will reply, please don't take it. If I live with you for 1 year, you may not do all the things I do, but I may do some of the things you do. That is how the mind does something what the brain does, and the brain will not do what the mind should do.
There is
enough potency in me. But if I live with you for 1 year, I'm going to lose a certain potency. I'm going to do like you, some of you, 2 days let go, aaj kya kal chalega, all that I'll start doing in my, from my age of 7, 65 years of practices, I will not miss 2 days. But if I live with you for 1 year, I may lose 2 days in a year.
Very important. Very important.
So this is always the case. When in company two are together, the good loses and the bad doesn't gain. I will tell you something in a serious manner. The mind, the individual mind, is chitti flowing through each individual person, isn't it? And when it is individual, we call it chitta. This atmosphere, air, is in your lung, in his lung, in my lung, in her lung, isn't it? This pure, good atmosphere, in some lung it will be a TB. In some lung it may be something. In my lung it may be healthy, like the original, you see. So, when the mind flows to each brain, the contamination has to take place. That is why brain does not improve automatically, though the mind flows daily. All these things, all these exercises and the timing, all we are doing is for the brain. If the brain improves, then the mind will not be contaminated. You get my point? Not that one rotten apple can spoil a dozen good apples. You see?
I do, I'll take my chance. In spite of the fear of contamination.
See, so that is a law of nature. See? And we have to be free from the contamination. You see? By certain exercises, by certain breathing, we have to cure the brain, not the body. Normally we always have in our mind the thought that the body is ailing. It is the brain that is ailing. When the brain is ailing, the body is ailing. It's not the other way around, that when the body is ailing, the brain is not ailing. It is when the brain is ailing, the body is ailing. And the brain is ailing because of certain thoughts, certain emotions.
But all the exercises are around the body, not around the
brain. No. All the exercises are only for the brain. Refining whom? We are refining the brain. The breathing is for the brain. You know, breathing is directly connected to thought, with brain. So all our exercises are directly with the brain. We have to improve the brain. If the brain is healthy, the body will become healthy. It is the brain that is unhealthy. Ailments are in the brain, not in the body. And all our exercises, though we may sit like this, the breathing is for the brain. We may do fast breathing here, we may do fast breathing here, but it is meant for the centers in the brain. We are refining the brain, of course with certain posture, but we are refining the brain. If the brain is refined, the body will become refined. All our ailments will go. And the greatest ailment I have told you, the greatest distraction, the greatest obstruction in the brain is inertia, laziness of the brain. And that is what we want to remove by various breathing exercises. This heart exercise that we do is not only for the lungs. When we breathe, the lungs are moved. But the whole idea is the brain center. The various brain centers are clean. Get my point?
Are there not any specific brain exercises existing from breath exercises?
Unfortunately, no.
Make the brain active.
Because we have seen that the brain only religion, the brain's only religion is distraction. Pendulum. It is his only religion. So if you put in any intellectual exercise, it will throw it out. It is only interested in that pendulum. Past and future. Past distraction. So to stop that, there is no other way but to bring in breath and control certain centers in the brain. So whenever you do any intellectual exercise, you fail. You see, I do intellectually and say, no, this is not good, I must not do this, we never succeed. Because no intellectual exercise will help the brain. It is only the breathing that will control the brain. That is why we are doing various exercises. And the best is 3-step rhythmic breathing for 24 hours. You get that?
Sir, I have a question.
Yes.
Breath is oxygen
and nitrogen.
Or whatever,
the
two things.
Yes,
continue. And they move through the entire body. There are athletes and there are great physical people. There are people who give athletic exercises of incredible beauty. Their brains are still polluted.
Polluted, yes.
Because of
computation
and so on.
Exactly. That is what I am trying to tell you. If you improve your body, you can't improve your brain.
But to breath, we are improving.
Certain breath, you have to improve your brain first. And the breath must be a rhythmic breath. And the most important thing, it must be a rhythmic breath.
The rhythm in the body does not bring rhythm in the breath.
The rhythm in the brain will bring rhythm in the body. You see, we are structured that way. That we must come here first to go down here. If you exercise your body, make yourself a lion, a tiger, a panther, they are beautifully structured animals, you see. They are graceful, they are strong, thereby, you get them, you see. A strong man can be a bully.
Yes.
You get my point? A strong brain is a beautiful brain. We'll have a beautiful body. We'll have beautiful thoughts. You get my point? And then the individual mind flowing will not be contaminated. You get my point? God has structured the human body and brain in such a way that if you have to control your thinking, you have to control your breath. And thinking is a product of the brain, not the body. So breath must control the product of the brain thinking. You get my point? If you control the product of the brain, then the brain is controlled by brain. That is why brain is silent. You get my point? But I am trying to give you something which you can do all 24 hours. Three-step rhythmic breathing all 24 hours. Once three-step is in you for all 24 hours, every thought is structured. You get my point? And once that happens, your brain is thoroughly clean. If your brain is clean, your thoughts are clean, your body is clean, your emotions are clean, what more do you want?
The cleanliness is the content of thought or the juxtaposition of thought.
Content of thought. The content of thought. It is not the clearing of the body with soap and hot water. It is the disinfection of the brain by rhythmic breathing. The thoughtful structure is so that it will not have to struggle against an improper thought. You get
my point?
Do you hear me?
It is the imbalanced thought. The imbalanced thought is
a correct. The imbalanced thought is an improper thought. And the balanced thought is a proper.
Any other question? Yes, please.
How much does an individual mind gain from the infinite mind?
The question is, how much does an individual mind gain from the infinite mind? Nothing. Individual mind is a part and parcel of the infinite mind. This one sentence, you should realize that you are as powerful, as great, as wonderful, as spiritual as the infinite mind. You get my point? And yet, we are what we are in this solid state because there is no communication between brain, individual mind, infinite mind. To bring about this communication, this is what is yoga abhyas. You get my point? The individual mind in you, in me, in her, in him is same. You get my point?
How can
you gain more? You have got everything. I haven't got anything that you have not got. You get my point? You have everything. He has it, I have it, you have it. We have got everything within us. There are distractions, obstacles, hindrances that prevent making proper use. That is why we have to remove hindrances, distractions, obstacles from our way. Then your mind, your brain, my brain will be same. Because it is same. Have less obstacles and hindrances, you may have more. You get my point? This is the only difference. God has not created me better than you are. No. You are as good as I am. Or I am as good as you are. Get my point? That is why in the Zen they say that we are all born with Buddha nature. There is nothing to seek, there is nothing to find. We have to remove these obstacles, hindrances that prevent us. You get that point? Haji.
The air which we breathe goes into the lungs.
Haji.
The air which we take out also comes out of the lungs.
Ji.
Then how does it affect the brain or control the brain?
If there is a bottle, what you say is all right, that the air goes into the bottle or the air comes out of the bottle. But the human body is a system. Right from the top of your head to the toe of your foot, you are one unit. There is nothing that happens here or here or here or here is not felt by the whole body. it is interrelated. There are three, four systems within the body, the normal blood circulation, then there is the sympathetic system, the parasympathetic system, the motor system, there are so many things. We are interlinked. The human body is a system. It's a universe. It's a universe. Just as if you do anything in the universe here, it is felt at that end of the universe. So when you take breath in the lungs, it is not a bottle in which you put your breath. The effect of that breath, so the blood that is oxygenated, it goes to every part of your body, which is your brain. So get my point. Our body is a unit. We are not chairs and tables. If you repair this part of the chair, the rest of the chair won't know. If you get a hurt here, the whole body suffers. Get the point? Correct?
Sir, in your introduction or this earlier explanation, I got this sequence of asana pranayama, and you rightly emphasize the missing link of pratyahara and dhamma before you go to dhyana. But I am still not very clear about yama and yama. Is the interrelationship or interdependence of other part of this ashtanga yoga? Can you elaborate?
Yes, yes. I
am not clear.
Yes, yes, yes. When a child, when an infant grows.
So one second, let me add, why this thought has come? This thought has come because the body is not empty. Because the thought has come about yama and yama, because I have listened to the other remarks. There is a similar discussion somewhere. Point was made that yama and yama are very essential first preliminaries of Raja Yoga. But in Bhakti Yoga they are not important.
I'll explain. When an infant becomes a child, grows up, the first thing it learns is to stand on its two feet. After growing for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, we don't know how to stand on our two feet. The first thing is not learned even now. So the first thing yams and yams is never learned till the last. Because the most important and the most difficult thing is to have control and learn yam and yam. It is not possible. Everybody says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. Those 10 commandments. And so are the commandments here also, rules and commandments, 5 rules and 5 commandments. And I always believe the child who got up in class and you asked the 10 commandments, he repeated the 11th one, thou shalt not obey this commandment. You see? So like that, we believe the 11th one, thou shalt not obey these rules and commandments. This comes to us last. In fact, we must begin with that. But the trouble is, as doctor raised the point, as he raised the point, this chatterbox, how is it controlled? Because if this chatterbox is controlled, yam yam comes by itself. Correct? Who has told us how to control this chatterbox? Not precisely, clearly. Vaguely we have come to the conclusion now that breathing does control this chatterbox. So we are concentrating on breathing. Three-step rhythmic breathing, the various timing, so that this chatterbox can be controlled. If this box is controlled, we have our first self and the arm near. Correct? But people do not pay any attention to this. They go to asana, they go to pranayama, or they go to meditation. Because they can understand these three only. They cannot understand what is yam, what is niyam. Because they know what is good, what is bad. But how? How to bring about the good, how to avoid the bad? Practically nobody has taught them. So they understand the 8 steps of yoga. But yam, niyam, they set aside. Pratyahara they fully forget. And talk about every day in the morning I'm sitting in dhyan for 1 hour, meditate for 1 hour. The mind in 1 second 10,000 times goes 10,000 miles. With that mind, people are sitting in meditation for 1 hour. See, unless young near perspective, unless pranayama is controlled, unless the brain posture is brought about, unless we understand what is pratyahara, dharma, dhyana, samadhi, let us forget. Psychologically, it is good for us to sit like this for 1 hour, no harm. But to think that it is dhyana, it is wrong. You understand me? Bolo. Okay? Any more questions?
Basic sense of
લાખો છે the important point about rhythmic breathing, the important point about the timing exercises, the important point about phase exercises is that there is no alternative. There is alternative when you go deep into Hatha Yoga. There are many alternatives. But it is much more difficult than our simple three-step breathing, our timing exercise and our phase exercise. You get my point? I think yoga is much more difficult. There is no other alternative. And this is one of the excuses for inertia. Now, take your card and already go. You get my point? You see, these are the excuses we come across. આજે જલ્દી જવાનું હતું. પછી ઈચ હેસ ગો હાફ એન અવર અર્લી ટુડે, ગેટ અપ હાફ એન અવર અર્લી, ધેટ મેટર એન્ડ. બટ બીકોઝ ઓફ મેન્ટલ ઇનર્શિયા વી હેવ ગોટ 100 એક્સક્યુઝિસ નોટ ટુ ડુ. એન્ડ ધેન યુ વિલ હેવ ધેટ એબ્સોલ્યુટ ઓબ્સેશન ધેટ આઈ વિલ નોટ મીટ વન ડે ધેટ ડે યુ વિલ ફ્લાવર. Not before that. Haji?
At this point I would say, mental inertia automatically goes if you start being busy. What is busy?
My friend has raised the point that if you can start seeing vidya, everything will go. But if vidya can be seen, I would like to see. See, to see vidya, to perceive vidya, you can't see vidya. See, it is coming with perceive. To perceive vidya means to see what is not normally possible to be seen. For that you want yoga vyas. But that's what I say, you can't go directly to vidya. Vidya doesn't come as a fruit, absolutely ripe in your palm, dropped by God. No, 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 no. It will never come like that, no. You have to grow the tree and get the fruit.
Yes, we can see avidya.
At least you can experience. You see, you need to see your experience avidya. We are avidya. We are a personification of avidya. There is nothing to be seen and experienced in avidya. We are avidya. See, we are an impersonation. You get that one? So there is no need to see or experience of vidya. But to experience vidya, there is a lot of work to be done. Supposing our vidya is Gujarati or Marathi, and vidya is Sanskrit, then you will have to go to that lady to learn. So vidya is like that. You have to make efforts. Avidya is natural. We are molded into the avidya, naturally, by our life after life of our life and stars. There is nothing to see or experience. salary. So we are meeting on 18th. And this Saturday and this coming Thursday, we are meeting for phase exercise. Please come in your group. I want to see it properly done.